Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Remain standing with me if you would and turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. And when you get there, we're going to read one verse. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people, didn't leave anybody out, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. We ask, Lord God, that you'll touch your word, touch our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we'll be able, Lord God, to receive it with meekness. Help me, Lord God, to speak only the words you would have me to speak this morning. And Father, we'll not fail to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. The help of the Lord for just a few moments this morning, I want to touch on the thought, the double-minded man. The double-minded man. Elijah was very upset here in this passage of Scripture. In fact, if you read the whole chapter, you'll get a whole lot more of the information and see what was going on there. Many of you already are very familiar with this story that happened here. But Elijah was very upset because the children of Israel, they were trying to two-time God, so to speak. Well, actually, that's what they were doing. And he was upset because they were trying to, in one hand, hold on to God, and in the other hand, so to speak, they were following false idols, more respectively, the prophet of Baal. We're going to get into that a little bit more this morning in depth, Lord will. But Elijah was upset, and he's putting the people on the spot. And he asked the simple question, what we just read here. If God be God, then serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve him. But don't try to do both. How many know the Bible says all the way to the back of the book in Revelation, it said, Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold. So then because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That's pretty strong language by our Lord, isn't it? And I think sometimes people forget, even though our God is a God of love, and one of them raised the question this morning about the age of grace, and we are truly living in the age of grace. But I think what a lot of people forget, Brother Archie, is even though we're living in an age of grace and even though we serve Christ our Lord of love, one day in the very near future, Brother Tony, he's going to also be a judge. He's not just a God of love, but he's going to be a judge. And he's going to judge us by and with his word. Now, we know the different dispensations of time. Many of them will say there are seven basic dispensational times. If you count the one that's in the eternal ages to come, then there are eight. But we know that the dispensation of time of law has already passed. And the different people in the Word of God, the men of God that he used, like the Apostle Paul, was trying to get across to the Jewish people at that time. He said, you're trying to still hold on to the things of the law, and you're trying to keep the law, and you keep failing. And the Bible tells us plainly that we cannot just pick and choose what we want. If we're guilty, the Word of God tells us, if we're guilty of one portion of the law, then we're guilty of it all. And so Jesus was the only one that was able to prove, and I know you've heard me probably preach this till you're tired of it, but Jesus was the only one that was able to prove that we could not keep the law. A couple years ago, we started, when we were still having Bible studies over in the fellowship hall over there, we were in the book of Romans, and we covered a lot of ground on this. And I still believe, and I continue to tell people, that I personally think that people should start in the book of John, St. John, and the book of Romans, go back and forth, because that's the foundation of what we are. It gives us the bedrock of our salvation. Ran into someone the other day, and she was challenging me, so much so that there was sweat coming down her neck. And she was wanting to know why us preachers go on and on and on so much about the blood. Well, the blood is the bedrock. It is the foundation. And I told her, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Yeah, I know, but I get tired of hearing it, and I want to go into that transcend mode. I thought, oh boy, here we go. And they go, well, we can't transcend until he that's already there comes down to get us so that we can transcend. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. She said, well, she said, that seems like that's all you preachers talk about is the cross and the blood. And I'm wanting to move on to deeper things. You know, that's one of the hook lines that the devil has got the majority of the church world with today. They leave and they church hop. They leave this church and they go to the next, and they leave that church and they go to, not everybody, but some of them. And they're constantly looking, Brother Gene, for another church that's going to get deeper and dissect God's word a little bit more. I call it died, fried, and laid to the side, because by the time they get done with it, it doesn't mean anything. Some things are just meant to be taken for what they are. And I think if we'll just stay in the book and let God lead, we'll be headed in the right direction. But Elijah was upset, and he's telling him, how long? He's asking him a question. How long are you going to be halted between two opinions? Doesn't that look like the world that we live in today? There are people everywhere who say, yeah, I'm religious. I'm so sick of hearing that word. Yeah, I'm religious. I'm a devout Catholic. I'm a devout Baptist. And you ain't going to change me. We had a family member say that a while back. I'm Baptist and I'll die Baptist. Okay, honey, go right ahead. They got a good foundation. I'm not worried about, or concerned about, rather, religion. What I'm concerned about is my experience, my personal experience with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sister Maximilian, that's all that matters to me. Religion means nothing. The Pharisees had religion. Jesus rocked their socks, so to speak. He said, you put so much emphasis on the outward. You try to clean up the cup and the platter on the outside. But on the inside, you are full of dead men's bones. Amen? I think that we need to realize that religion, and again, this is not just my opinion. We've got history books to prove it. The greatest history book right here of all to prove it. But many others as well. That religion has been the cause pretty much of every war. Pretty much of every war. Because somebody's always saying they're right and somebody else is always saying they're wrong. And so you've got people engaged and they're trying to battle. Give you a quick example and we'll move on. Judeo-Christian versus Islam. Dates way back. And that battle's never stopped. So he's saying, how long are you going to be halted between two opinions? I want us to look at this God Baal, and I use that term very loosely, but it covers a lot of ground. First of all, let's look at what the word Baal means. In the noun, it means Lord, Master, Owner, Keeper, or Husband. Now listen to the verb. Baal in the verb tense means to take possession of. To take possession of. So as I said before, Baal covers a lot of ground. It covers anything from the supernatural to humans to even animals. And I'll give you a few examples here. Number one, the first example we have of Baal that he's connected to is Satan himself. Satan, the word Satan means adversary or one who withstands. How many has ever felt like you've been withstood before? I'll put both of my hands up. There's times, Brother Archie, I get up in the morning and I think, Lord, when are you going to get him off my back? Anybody's ever asked that question? Maybe not in those words, but you've asked the Lord. Man, I guess you're all more righteous than I am. But I've said, Lord, I tell you, I don't know how much more of this beating I can take. But God knows what we can take. Then there's Nimrod. Now Nimrod, he's of the humans. We know Nimrod was the one that orchestrated the great Tower of Babel. They were going to reach heaven. God had to come down and he had to confound their languages and disperse them to keep that from happening. The word Nimrod, listen to this, simply means rebellion. One word, rebellion. And when I think about this, I think, you know, people want to try to act like in our age that things are so different, so much different, but really they're not. It all started way back then. But we look, and this is what come to my mind, back in the 50s when rock and roll music came out, one of the very first rock and roll songs. The lyrics I remember, just a clip of it. And I don't even know the name of the song or the rest of the song, but the one that kept the play, you know, over and over until it gets in your head. And it says, well, now I'll probably forget it, but it says, I don't care what people say, rock and roll is here to stay. I don't care what people say, rock and roll is here to stay. That's rebellion in its truest form. There's another secular song that says something along the lines of long live rock and roll or some such thing. And my point being is this. Satan was the orchestrator of rebellion. He was the first one to fall. And when he fell, as we know, a third of the angels of heaven fell with him. And then now we see it entering into these men. The second man comes to mind is Balaam. How many remember Balaam, the prophet, the Bible? The word Balaam, and I want you to catch this. This is what his name means. Balaam means not of the people. I can think of a lot of people like that today in our world. Balaam means not of the people. So we see this god Baal encompassing Satan, encompassing man, but he also encompasses the elements. Rain, thunder, agriculture, and even sexuality and fertility and things like this. And as I said before, animals. Here's three prominent animals that have been tied to the god Baal. The first one is a bull. The bull stood for strength and fertility. Then there's the goat or the ram, which stood for sexuality. And if you remember when we did our study a while back on Wicca and Satanism, we touched on the god called Pan. And it was in the shape of the goat. It was in the form of the goat. Then we had the signet of Satan. Again, the rams and the head of the goat with the one hand up and the one hand down and so on and so forth. But the point being is this. Every time those goats are used as that god that they kneel down to, and especially in satanic worship or Wicca, lewd, crude sexual acts are involved with it. And the prophet, what he did when he seen that he could not get God to curse his own people, he lured the young men of Israel by lust, causing them to commit fornication with the heathen countries that are around about, and even went so far, Brother Tracy, as to pass their children through the fire, worshiping the god Molech and Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth was a female goddess, again, connected with sensuality, lasciviousness, and so on and so forth. The final one that really caught my attention as far as animals were concerned were flies. Now, if you notice here, the ones I've given you, bulls, rams or goats, and flies, that covers pretty much all the animal kingdom, from the wild beast to domesticated to creepy crawlers. Okay? But the thing that really caught my attention as I studied on this a little bit this past week, I found out that flies, they were associated with demons. And the point that one pastor made, is he said when Satan fell and a third of the angels fell with him, they rallied around him like a bunch of flies. What do we do next? Where do we go? You know. But the one that really got my attention, the definition of this, was a dunghill. That, in God's eyes, is how he views Baal. Nothing more than a dunghill. Now, the very same thing that got Israel into trouble, and as we just read it here a couple times, when Elijah was upset with this double-mindedness, but the very same thing that got them in trouble then is the very same thing that has a lot of Christians in trouble today. And that's this thing known as double-mindedness. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 8, tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, you know, you've heard me preach on this many times. You can't serve God and mammon. People that say they're a friend of God cannot be a friend of the world. If they're a friend of the world, it's impossible to be a friend of God. And yet there are many Christians today trying to do that very thing. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have nice things. We can't have nice. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that we can't have a nice house or a nice car or a good job. I believe God expects us to do that. He says, occupy till I come. But the things I'm talking about are when the children of God come to the place, much like these that were in the time of Elijah, Brother Archie, they begin to partake of things that Christians ought not to be partaken of. They begin to go to places that Christians ought not to be going to. They begin to hang around with people that Christians ought not to be hanging around with. They begin to talk in ways that a Christian ought not to be talking. They begin to do things that Christians ought not to be doing. See, notice I'm not meddling today. I'm just putting it out there in the basic form. I'll let your mind do the meddling. The same thing that got the Israelites in trouble then is the very same thing that's getting many Christians in trouble today. The Word of God tells us, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, not Jimmy. That was the rest of the scripture, saith the Lord. He put that in there for a reason. Because there's a lot of people that say, well, that's what you think. No, that's not what I think. I'll use this for an example. I have my own opinions as it pertains to politics, just like you have your own opinions as it pertains to politics. I could go around the room and I could say, Brother Archie has one view. Brother Bob Palmer has another view. Brother Herb has another view. Sister Shahida has another view. And that's all fine and dandy. But when God puts a period behind it, it's done. It's not up for discussion. And so, and you've heard me say this before, and then I'm going to get off of it because I'm not on politics this morning, but you've heard me say before, if you look back in history, as long back as I can remember, and some of you that have been around older, longer than me, you can look back farther and you can tell me if I'm wrong. But it didn't matter whether it was a Democrat or a Republican. This country has been chewed up, spit out. All we've done is get into debt. And nobody's ever been able to fix it. So much for parties. You've heard me say that before. But my point being is this. God has a final word. And his final word is, come out from among the world and be separate. And this day and age in which we live, this double-mindedness not only affects just the general lay person that may not be a teacher, may not be a singer, they're just faithful to come to the house of God. It doesn't just affect those folks, but sad to say, in many cases, it's affecting many pastors. I know of pastors today that are more wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in politics than they are in preaching the word. I've sat in services where half of the quote message was browbeating someone over what party they should follow. Half of their message was to tell people how to vote. Hey, the Bible says we're to respect those that are put into power. We know this. But this is not our home, folks. We are strangers and pilgrims, as the Word of God puts it, passing through. When we allow ourselves to become so captivated with the things that are going on in this world, it begins to suck and to steal our joy and our peace. And then before you know it, we begin to lose sleep. Because we're so worried about what CNN has to say, or Fox News has to say, or Bill O'Reilly has to say, or Sean Hannity has to say, or Piers Morgan has to say, and the list goes on. I don't care what any of them have to say. I know what the Word of God says. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back, and he's going to set things right. But if he comes back and he finds his people double-minded, anybody remember what we quoted earlier? What's he going to do? He's going to spit you out of his mouth. I want you to notice something here. First of all, let me just say this. Jesus is the only way. And I get so tired of hearing people make this statement. They'll say, Brother Tony, they'll say, I'm going to cover all my bases. I'm going to have a little Buddha trinket. I'm going to have a little Muhammad trinket. I'm going to have my Jesus hanging from my dashboard. I'm going to cover all the bases, so I know I'm not going to be in trouble. Well, you're already in trouble if you're doing that. Because Jesus said, I'm the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And when a person does that and they claim to be a Christian, they are borderline blasphemous. Because to commit blasphemy, first of all, you have to be a Christian to be able to do that. And to commit the sin of blasphemy is simple. It means to leave what you know in Christ and turn to another false religion. Now, if you're saying you're serving Christ and you're still praying to Allah and you're still praying to Buddha, hey, don't fall out with me this morning. I'm preaching you the truth. And if you're praying to all these other different religions and because you think you got to be saved, honey, you need another dip in the dye pot, so to speak. You need to get your nose in the book. and find out for yourself who is God. This is why Elijah was so upset. Why halt you between two opinions? Because of lack of a knowledge is why. The reason why there's so much spiritual confusion in the minds of this generation. Now, listen to me on this. This is important. The reason why there's so much spiritual confusion is because of a lack of, or in some cases, non-existent teaching of the Word of God from parents. And this has happened for centuries. What are you talking about, Brother Jimmy? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to read it to you. The Bible says in Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Whew. That's rough, isn't it? And you think that's rough? Listen to what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. This is what Moses said. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day," listen to this, "shall be in thy heart." Another verse of scripture said, "Write it upon the table of your heart. And thou shalt teach them," speaking of children, "diligently." Well, that's what he says here. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down to go to sleep, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates." What is he trying to say? What's God trying to say here? Don't forget me. You heard me say last week, a lot of people can stand up and they can name practically the whole roster of the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cowboys, the Redskins, whatever sport you want to think of, but their kids are ignorant of the Word of God because there's no teaching of the Word of God in their household. And then we want to wonder why they do some of the things they do. We want to wonder why there's so much spiritual confusion in the mind of our children when the only one that has their ear is the public arena known as our school system. And our school system, by the way, over the years, they've been rewriting history, in case you didn't know it. A lot of things I learned growing up, they're now saying that wasn't the way it was. Well, how convenient. Somebody's got a time machine, I guess. But our public schools are indoctrinating our children, sad to say. They are gearing our children to believe, and some of you might fall out with me over this, but that's all right. They're gearing our children, Brother Gene, to believe that they are to obey the government no matter what. That the government is right no matter what. Listen, the Word of God tells us to honor those who are in high position until their laws are contrary to God's laws. Today, there's an awful lot of laws being instituted that are blatantly against the laws of God. And if you're supporting, again, I'm not getting political, I'm just giving you the Word of God. If you're supporting someone who's for abortion, shame on you. If you're supporting someone who believes in gay marriage, shame on you. If you're supporting someone who's pushing something that is blatantly against the Word of God, shame on you. Because at the end of the day, what's really important is Him. This is the closest you're going to get to Jesus Christ in this temple. When you hold it, it should give you chills like it is me right now. Because you've got Jesus close to you. What He says should be all that matters. Brother Tracy, it doesn't matter what I think about whoever the next running mate is. I need to line him up with the Word of God. And I got news for you. Y'all can fall out with your pastor over this if you want to. But I refuse to vote for anybody. I will withdraw my ballot, period. before I'll vote for either side that's for things that are against the Word of God just for the simple almighty dollar. Because like I told you before, there's not a one of them down through history that has helped our country. They really haven't. I mean, they hoodwink the people into thinking that they do. Oh, they'll drop gas prices over here a little bit. They'll create jobs over there a little bit. Oh, aren't we doing great? And all the while, the deficit's climbing higher and higher. Double-mindedness. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let me say this because I feel the Lord unctioning me to put this out there. You know, one of the hook lines of the devil today is money. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The government, I'll stick on the government for a minute. The government will say, I'll give you a voucher for X amount of dollars. I'll give you a house to live in. I'll even give you a job. All you got to do is vote for my guy. And your conscience says, well, wait a minute. Doesn't he believe in abortion? Isn't he okay with gay rights? But you know, I really need this money. They've went from trusting in God to trusting in the almighty dollar. One of these days, folks, it's all going to burn up and melt with fervent heat. And the only thing that's going to be left is your track record in the eyes of God. My track record in the eyes of God. And if I'm not living, if Jimmy's not living in such a way, when Jesus Christ comes back, or when he looks at me and he says, you've been faithful over a few things. If he looks at me and he says, all you did was occupy yourself with what was going on in the world, I'm in trouble. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I'm going to read this one more time because I feel compelled of the Lord to read it. And I hope and pray that it won't just be words that are bouncing off of one ear drum through the other side. But I hope and pray that you'll get a hold of this morning. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Hey, that goes for grandchildren too. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gate. You know what that tells me? That means God said, I don't want you just to do it when you're sitting down at meal, or when you're in the family room, or when you're in the church house, but I even want you to put things on your house. We got signs all over our house. One of them says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I believe that he wants us to go a step further. He's talking about the gates, and in today's world, that would mean a garage, I believe. You know, let's even put something on our garage. And when we go to pull our vehicle, or those of us who have garages, that it'll remind us of who God is to us. And let's diligently teach them to our children. Why? Because whether you know it or not, church, you're being beat to the draw. And you have been beat to the draw for quite some time. The school system has one up on you, if not two. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. His love changed me. That old man I
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.